Hi, welcome to another episode of Divorce Confidential. Thanks for being here today. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney in Washington State. I am the owner and managing attorney of Delino Family Law Group. We have offices in Seattle and Bellevue, and we serve clients all throughout the state. I am here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza from Windermere Real Estate. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah, happy to be here. And we've got a really interesting show today to talk about. So, Michelle,
we do. Yeah. So I don't know, anybody listening, you may have heard about this, but we had a situation in the overarching theme today, so you know, is protection orders and personal safety and what to do if you're being stalked or harassed or you're in a domestic violence situation and you're leaving in the middle of a divorce or not in the middle of a divorce, what to do. And the reason we're really talking about this today is I think it was last week. Amy, does that sound right? I think it was last week.
It was last Friday.
Yeah, last Friday in Redmond. Some of you may have heard about it, but in Redmond, Washington, which is our area, it's like right in our backyard, there was a situation where a man who met a podcast host in a chat room traveled to Washington, tracked her to her home, essentially entered her home through an open, I think it was a window of her mother who was living in the house, and killed her and her husband and himself.
Yes.
And yeah, it's really tragic. And before we really get into it, I think the one thing that the listeners need to know is this woman was scared. She was scared for her safety. She had already said she was scared for her life and the life of her family. And she had, 1 week before she was killed, she went and filled out a 12-page protection order application and got a temporary protection order. But the respondent, the person who did this act, was never served. And even if he had been served, Amy, I don't think it would have stopped him.
No, it wouldn't have mattered. If you read details on the case, you will see that he was very specific and blatant in saying that this won't stop until I kill you or I kill myself. And so sad and so scary. And just for a little bit more background detail, he came from Texas.
So yep. He was a long haul driver, right?
He was a truck driver. Yep. And so he drove all the way from Texas to Washington, stalked this woman. And I'm curious because they do say that they were friendly or friends from this chat room. But, you know, I'm curious how long of a time span that was. Not that it necessarily matters, but clearly he became totally obsessed with her. And then she feared for her life. And the really sad part is not only killing her, terrorizing her mother, killed her husband, and then himself. And just, so I think today what we really want to focus on is if you're in this situation, how do you protect yourself?
Yeah.
What are some steps that you need to take in order to make sure that your privacy is protected? So what are your thoughts, Michelle?
Well, you know, Amy, you and I were talking earlier, and this is something that one thing you mentioned, which is really a good point, is he had to know where this woman lived to go there and do this, right? And so when we're talking about your privacy and your protection, I don't know if a lot of listeners know this, but if you own real property, we do it all the time. And in my office, if we want to know, we want to find somebody, first thing we do is we check the King County Recorder site and we see, is there anything recorded and what's their address? Because we can find it. And that's without even doing anything, you know, more. So if you own property, it's going to be easy to find your address. There's not a ton you can do about that. But what you can do, because a lot of people aren't necessarily going to go and look there, is if you feel like you're being stalked, if you are in a contentious situation, you can choose to use a private mailbox or a PO box. And then that's the address that gets out there. That's the address that's on your credit report. That's the address that's going to come up online if you use that for bills. And it makes it a little bit easier to conceal your actual address. What a lot of people don't know too is, so first of all, like I said, they had to find her to do this because her address was out there and most people's address is out there. But a lot of people don't know, if you do get a protection order, you can keep your address confidential. It can be kept confidential from the court. You can get that to use that for all kinds of things. You can get a free PO box and you can enroll in what's called a free address confidentiality program. So that's an option for victims of domestic violence or stalking that's out there. But at the end of the day, like, protect your personal safety and think about it. And because we live in a digital era, right? Like, think about Amy, like, especially like in real estate, listings are all over. You're seeing inside of people's homes all the time. I mean, the era that we're living in, like, it's all out there.
Yeah,
you know,
it is. I mean, and that's something with, you know, with listings that we have to really take that protection and safety of our clients into, you know, concern and make sure, hey, you're putting away all personal belongings, you're putting away like medications, right? Like, hide that stuff because people could come through your house and steal it. You know, I mean, it's just, it's really unsettling how disturbed clearly this, you know, this man was. But I think, I mean, how many domestic violence cases have you worked on or are you working on currently?
A lot. I would say in our practice, I mean, we have a really busy practice. We have, you know, 7-8 attorneys at a time, and we've got almost 400 open matters at any given time. And I'd say at least one quarter of them have domestic violence involved.
Wow.
And
that's high.
Not everybody. Yeah. Not everybody in some way, shape or form. That doesn't necessarily mean a protection order, but it means allegations. It means a history of DV. Maybe it means a prior criminal charge. Maybe it means protection order, some type of domestic violence. Domestic violence in Washington too also doesn't just mean I put my hands on you and hurt you. It can be like this person's situation. Stalking is domestic violence. Sexual assault is domestic violence. Putting someone in fear and making threats of that they might actually have imminent bodily harm is domestic violence. And now under Washington's new statute, what's called coercive control is domestic violence. That's a topic for another day. But domestic violence, you know, if I'm standing here and you come over and you punch the wall next to me and tell me you're going to like kill me, you didn't hit me, but that's domestic violence.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah. And a lot of people need to understand, like, it, the first sign of that, you need to take action, because if you get an order, and you do get one, it is just a piece of paper. It wouldn't have stopped this guy. But it also goes into the law enforcement database. And then if you call 911, they see that in there and somebody's going to come right away.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's at least something. But I mean, what else can people do other than, you know, let's say move or...
Yeah. Yeah.
How can...
Not a lot. One thing you can do, we were talking about this earlier, is I think in Washington, more than other states, because Amy, you and I both spend time in Arizona where the air conditioning is blasting and you don't ever have to open the windows. Sure. But that's not the case in Seattle or Bellevue in the summer where most people don't have air conditioning. What do you do at night? You leave your windows open. You leave your screen door, you know, with the screen open. And this guy got in through a window. Some other people might remember a really tragic case in South Park where an intruder entered in a window and killed one woman and sexually assaulted both because the window was open. So you need to protect your safety. You need to leave windows open. You need to have some kind of an alarm on those windows. You can use a system like SimpliSafe or ADT or any of those and make sure you've got sensors so you at least are alerted if someone's coming in.
Right.
But secure your home, protect your safety, protect your personal information. I mean, now too, I talk to clients about this and it's kind of like you said, it makes me think about it with the listing. Don't leave out your personal information if you're selling your house, because then they'll get all they're doing is walking around and they can see everything they want to see about you, right? But I tell clients this too, protect your personal information on your social media. First thing that I do if we have another party in a case is I go and look at their social media and I find out stuff before they even know I'm involved. And I'm like, oh, I've got all these pictures of them I can use. Great. Before they know, and then they lock me out. But at the end of the day, don't have pictures of, you know, your kids, their contact information that you don't want people to see, like their name, especially if they have really young kids, teenagers, it's whatever, but
harder.
You know, be careful of the information you're putting out there and think about if you would want somebody who was fixated on you or an angry spouse to have that information and what they might do with it. If another trigger for people is if you are in the middle of a separation, you start dating, or you're recently divorced and you start dating and you're posting a million pictures and, oh, I'm dating so-and-so. That's a trigger, right?
Well, be very careful. I think that most people are smart enough to not post that stuff, at least not right away, or at least make it private to the people who you're close with. But there's a lot of not so smart people out there too, that just think, oh, it's my business. I can do whatever I want. And it's like, you know, you have to think about how that's going to affect your case and how that's going to affect, you know, if you're still in the middle of your divorce, or even if you're just post, you know, just getting out of a divorce. It is very triggering for the other party to see their ex-spouse with someone new. So
it is, it is. And,
be careful.
You know, I think, yeah, be careful. I think it's a really good point. Be smart about that. And I think your big takeaway from today is first sign of domestic violence. It's hard for people to report. Report it. Create a paper trail. Get a protection order. I mean, it might not be the cure-all, but it will get you a faster response. The second right. takeaway is, like we said, secure your personal information. Be aware that even though we live in this like information age, use a different mailbox and start establishing another address if you need to. If you're really in fear, move or temporarily stay with someone else. I mean, that might be a pain, but it's definitely worth more than your life, right? The other thing is be careful on social media and be careful with your data. This is another thing people, I tell all my clients, get a new password. Stop using, you know, your anniversary or your birthday or whatever. Get a new secure password. If you have a hard time remembering it, use a password manager like LastPass or 1Password, because the last thing you need is your ex being, you know, ready to be set off and really mad and going in and reading your email and seeing what you're up to. Then they can know exactly where you're going to be and they can know who you're going to be with. And that is, you wouldn't might think that doesn't happen. It absolutely does. So
totally.
Or, right.
Yeah, you're posting a place. Oh, we're at this, you know, restaurant or we're in this city or this hotel. Yeah.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You might want to, but don't do it. Lock it down. Change your passwords. Be careful with your address. Get a protection order if you need it, but just take it seriously because, you know, this happened in our own backyard. This happens all over too, in cases where there's not publicity like this. Domestic violence is one of the number one issues that ends in homicide. It's one of the things that escalates or serious bodily injury. It starts as something small and no one does something that bad until they do it the first time, right?
Right.
So, and that's the last time usually, but it's like, it's one of those things you're like, oh, he hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. Well, there's a first time where she hasn't. I mean, women do this kind of stuff too. It's not, that's the other thing. It's not, I've had men that are victims of DV.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the, what's that?
Is it biased? Is it heavily sided with men versus women or?
Men have trouble, I think, sometimes getting it taken as seriously. But at the same time, it should be taken seriously because women can become just as delusional and fixated and angry as men can.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Sometimes people will say, oh, well, it's unrealistic that he's scared of her. He's so much bigger than her. It doesn't matter if someone has a gun.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right. It's just, you got to take it seriously. And I do think law enforcement, especially in our area, other parts of the country, not as much from what I hear from other people, but especially in our area, there is a recognition of, you know, a blindness to gender, that both genders can commit DV, and also in same-sex relationships. For a long time, there was a hard time with that being taken as seriously, and that's not the case anymore. So it doesn't matter who you are, it can happen to you. And it only takes once to have a tragedy like this. So be careful.
Be careful, yes. And call if you have questions, like ask for help, ask for advice, you know, don't be scared.
I think
something that we see a lot, right, is clients are really intimidated. And when they find themselves in a abusive relationship, it's really hard to get outside of that mindset and ask for help. So.
Yeah. And I think don't be afraid of the stigma. Like, don't feel like you're somehow like you've done something wrong or you did something to invite it. You know, there's nothing you can do to deserve somebody treating you in that way. So yeah, reach out. Absolutely. And if you need contact for information, there's a lot of great resources you can call. Yeah, you can go online. You can always call my office. We're happy to provide people with information for resources, how to get a protection order. If you want representation for that, we can help you. If you want to do it on your own, we can tell you where to go. And the important thing for people to know before we sign off is in King County, they've changed their process recently, and it's actually really good. They've made it more friendly for people who are trying to navigate the system on their own. There is a dedicated process and dedicated department for domestic violence protection orders. So you actually can go to the court, you can say, I need to get a protection order. They'll tell you where to go. And there is a desk there just to help you with that, which I think is really good. You can do that downtown. the nice thing too about protection orders is you don't have to go downtown. You can go to the King County Courthouse downtown. You can go to the other King County Superior Courthouse in Kent, but you can also go to, and this is the scary thing, you can go to these small courts. This particular woman, I believe, went to the Northeast District Court in Redmond, which I've been to many, many times. It's very accessible, though. You can park, you can walk right in. It's not like going to a big, scary building. Mm-hmm. And you can get a protection order. You can seek a temporary in district court. And sometimes that's a lot faster and less intimidating to people. So there is help out there. You just need to ask for it. So that's all we have for today. And, you know, if you take nothing else away from this, secure your data and try to get ahead of a problem before you have one.
Good tips, Michelle. That's great.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.